The Defense Department has awarded new contracts to launch its next round of bug bounties, doling out cash awards to white hat hackers who find vulnerabilities in military IT systems. Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu writes about the latest iteration of Hack the Pentagon Challenge in this week's edition of Inside the Reporter's Notebook and joins me now with what's new. So, Jared, what is new? This bug bounty program has a little history, correct?
It does. So the new one is a total of $7 million worth of contract awards to two separate companies. That in and of itself is kind of new just in terms of the size and the scale, because the first bug bounty that you were kind of referencing that happened earlier this year, which, by the way, was the first time any federal agency has used this bug bounty approach, that first one only involved about $150,000. So DOD thinks these contracts, the new ones that just came out last week, are going to be enough to run more than a dozen of these challenges over the next, let's say, year or so. And the way they've set it up is that each company got a single award IDIQ contract. So the military services and the defense agencies are going to put in their own proposals saying, hey, we want to run one of these challenges against one of our systems. And then DOD will decide amongst those and then issue task orders to run an individual bug bounty for, let's say, the Air Force or the Army or DISA or whoever. And the first company here is HackerOne, and that is the same company that ran the first bug bounty. And it's going to look a lot like that same process that we saw earlier this year. Basically, open to anyone in the world who wants to try to claim a bounty. And they're only going to be going after public websites, obviously, because those are the only IT assets that are kind of open and visible to the rest of the world. The new piece here is the second award, which went to a company called Synac, and they have a very different model in that it's not open to just anyone. They say that they only use highly vetted professional cybersecurity researchers, and because of that, DOD is going to let them have a crack at its more sensitive systems in this new contract. So, in other words, not just things that the public can see on the public internet, but mission-critical type stuff that's buried behind firewalls. That contract's worth about $4 million, and the department has already issued the first task order under it, and they're going to use it to test one batch of source code that was written by a DOD contractor. We don't know which one, of course, and also one live application that's already running on the DOD intranet. So the department will give Synac access to that application just for this purpose and see what kind of security holes they end up finding.
And Jared, what precautions is DOD taking to make sure that for what is learned about these applications stays within the white hat hacker and DOD?
Well, a lot of that is stipulated within the contract. They've got to meet all the necessary DOD security controls, and they're going to run the entire program from within that contractor facility. And it's a closed network that the contractor runs, kind of segregated from the public internet. They have complete visibility, they say, over all of the activity that these white hat cybersecurity researchers are doing and going after these DOD systems, so that there's an audit trail that they can go back and look if it turns out that it looks like somebody was trying to do something nefarious and not just be helpful. I think one of the other issues here that's interesting to me is, why does DOD think that they can make a serious dent in their cybersecurity holes, recruiting, a relative handful of experts from around the world when they really have the biggest defensive cybersecurity apparatus in the world, under their own roof already in the auspices of the National Security Agency and U.S. Cyber Command? I asked that question to the founder of and CEO of Synac in a phone conversation last week. He incidentally is a former NSA cybersecurity, not white hat hacker is probably the wrong word, because he was going after foreign governments. But here's kind of his take on why a bug bounty can do better than the government's own assets.
The NSA is obviously both capable from an offensive perspective, but also on the defensive side. But I think the old way of doing things, let's bring in a couple of resources, let's, run through a project where we identify vulnerabilities, submit a report, and then move on to the next project. We're very limited by the skill set of those couple of individuals, right? So there's very limited diversity there. And at the same time, it is very point in time, right? So we only know what we know during that 1 week or 2 week period that they're actually looking at that asset.
Again, that's Jay Kaplan, the CEO and co-founder of Synnex. So work set to get underway in this next iteration of the Hack the Pentagon Challenge. We should hopefully start to see some results in the next few months, and hopefully they can let us know what they found.
And Jared, the applications they're looking at, you said some were recently developed and open source, some were already embedded behind firewalls. Are they looking at old applications or just things that have been developed recently?
That opportunity certainly is there. As I said, under this first task order, it's a relatively newly developed code base that's not running as an application yet. And then, you know, a binary application that already exists and is running and is performing missions. So, but that's only the first task order. Synnex has about $4 million worth of funds under this IDIQ to play with. So there's probably going to be another room for another five or six of these challenges against sensitive DoD systems before that IDIQ runs out. And the Pentagon just needs to figure out exactly where to dole out those funds and which exact systems it wants to test in this way.
All right, before we let you go, I just wanted to ask you briefly about something else in your notebook that was posted this week, and that is the DoD's privatized housing programs have some solvency problems, and now there's a little bit of a monkey on the back of DoD looking at this.
Potential solvency problems, we don't really know yet, but there are reasons to be a little bit concerned, and the Government Accountability Office is a little bit concerned. This is sort of following the directions of the Senate in the 2017 National Defense Authorization Act, and interestingly, that bill hasn't even passed, but GAO is going to go ahead and follow the Senate Armed Services Committee's directions to look at these programs. The two main concerns, just briefly, are that basic allowance for housing rates were cut by Congress a couple NDAAs ago so that individual military members are only going to be getting about 95% of what it takes to cover rent in a given area. And that's the exact amount of money that goes to these private housing providers. They'd basically just get the service members' BAH. So that's 5% less than they were expecting when they agreed to take on these projects. So that's one reason to be concerned about solvency. The other is just the sheer fact that the military is shrinking in size. So when these projects were first proposed and designed back in the 1990s, the military was bigger than it was. There are fewer service members to occupy these houses, and they're starting to trickle down into clauses in the contracts that let people all the way down to civilians that have no affiliation whatsoever with DoD to come in and occupy those homes so that the rent stream can keep flowing. There are security concerns with that, as the DoD IG pointed out in a report earlier this year. The military services had not been appropriately vetting civilians with no DoD affiliation before they were allowed onto military bases. So a lot of issues to look at here, and it's probably going to be another 2 or 3 years before we know if there are solvency problems for these companies who are operating the military housing programs. But if there are, it's a very serious concern for DoD because there's really no fallback plan.
Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu, as always, thanks so much for that update.
Thanks, Tom.
Read his reporter's notebook online now at federalnewsradio.com.